I wonder if you could remember any of the presents you received in Christmas 2011, 2 years ago. I won't ask you to ask your neighbour because there's a very good chance that they gave you a present in 2011 and you might be racking your brains to know what it was. Well, when I was thinking about what I was given, I really struggled. I struggled to think. I know I was given some fantastically impressive presents, but I couldn't remember any of them. I could only remember one of the presents, and this was it. It was a head torch, which Katie, my wife, gave me. Now, this head torch is, I've got to say, it doesn't look like much. It cost apparently £1 from Poundland. And Katie told me that when she gave it to me, she wasn't even sure it's going to work. That's the sort of presents I've got used to getting from my wife. But it's absolutely brilliant. It's actually brilliant. It means that when I take the bins out on a Sunday night, I can see my way whilst holding the bins. I love this present. It has been incredibly useful. And not only was it worth £1, but also you just turn it on, you put it on your head, and you have the bonus that you look really quite attractive. So it's an amazing gift to be given. I was given lots of fantastic gifts, but none of them I remember. But I remember that. I remember one which came pretty poorly wrapped up from Poundland. Well, our video, we just saw the video, and it told a story of the birth of two kings. One happened this year, and you won't have missed it. It was a future king born, wrapped up in huge publicity. It was the birth of Prince George. And even if, like Private Eye, you were a bit underwhelmed by the event when they reported woman has baby, you won't have missed it. At one point, I even heard on the television, you know how it's getting completely out of control, the reporting. I even heard one reporter say, the whole world is waiting for the announcement of the baby. It was a massive deal. But what difference does it really make? George will hopefully one day be king. But eventually, he'll be forgotten by history. So that's the birth of one king. The other, in the video, was a reimagining in a modern setting of a birth that actually happened 2,000 years ago and would have been totally overlooked by the whole world if it hadn't been for a bunch of shepherds on a hillside. Just ordinary people like you and me. People who never have been invited to George's baptism. But they were there at the birth. A child born in humility and obscurity, but who would never be forgotten by history, not now or ever. So on the one hand, a temporary king of an island, or if the SNB have their way, of part of an island. The other, the eternal king of all kings. God himself come to earth. But when I was thinking about that, I was thinking, well, why? Why did God do it that way? Why did God do it in such a sort of humble way? Why did he do it in such a, well, to be honest, such a foolish way? Why didn't he do it? Why didn't he come in such a way that people couldn't possibly doubt who he was? Why didn't he come with incredible miracles and startling wonders? Although actually, of course, the irony is if he had, people would say, oh, I can't believe that. Why didn't he make his existence clearer? Why didn't he prove himself to us? Why did he do it in such a humble way? A baby born in a manger who would go on to die a death. Why didn't he make it clearer? How could God think that it would be easier for us to believe in him when he was born in such a way? Well, I think the reason that God did it, or the reason the Bible tells us, is that God was on a rescue mission to make us right with him, to restore the life-giving, death-destroying relationship, a relationship with him that cannot be broken. And get this, humility would be the key to our salvation. Humility would be the way that God would make that rescue happen. His humble birth as a baby born to an ordinary and powerless young woman in a backwater of the world, born with more than a hint of scandal that has never left him, and his life and then his eventual death, and then his rising to gain, that humble life would be the way by which we were saved. That humble death would be the way. Well, why is that? Well, I want you to imagine something for me. I want you to sort of just have an imagination. I want to ponder this thought. What if yours and my biggest problem is pride? I don't mean here the pride which struts itself around and tells people of all their rugby exploits. We all know people like that. No, I don't mean that sort of pride. I mean the pride which actually says, do you know what? At the end of the day, I come first. I'll be generous, but at the end of the day, I'll look after myself first. I'll look out for myself first. What if that was our biggest problem? And all the other things we think we get wrong are actually just a consequence of that. All the rubbish we see in human relationships is simply because our instinct is to look out for ourselves. And what if, in doing that, we ended up demoting God? God went from the one we worship to the one who meets my need, if he even exists. Now, if that were our problem, how would we think that God should sort it out? Well, we, of course, want to be in control. So we'd want him to prove it on our terms. We would set the criteria by which we would believe him. We might even say, God, if you're real, do something like speak to me in an audible voice. And let me ask you some questions. But what would happen if God did that is that he would make our situation worse. I used to be a teacher. And one thing you definitely knew is that if a kid was misbehaving to get attention, the one thing you wouldn't do was give them lots of attention. That would just make the situation worse. So God chose a way that wouldn't feed our pride, but would cause us to set it aside, would require us to set it aside. That he chose a way of revealing himself that would mean that we would have to admit that he was in control and not us. It says really clearly in the Bible here, I love this verse, it says this, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Earlier on in that passage, it says this, "God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached." Now here, the writer's talking ultimately about Jesus' death on the cross. But it meant the whole of Jesus' revelation, starting with his birth. "God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." You see, Christmas and then Easter bust the pride of our wisdom. As like the shepherds, angels and wise men, we are called to worship a baby who grew up to be saviour of the world. God himself came in humility to humble our pride and to save us. There's this great story of 1916 after the Emperor Franz Joseph I of Austro-Hungarian Empire died. And he had his funeral service and then he was taken to a church to be buried. And at the door to the church, the chamberlain who led Franz Joseph's coffin, not loudly, and the doorman of the church asked this, "Who demands entry?" Well, the chamberlain replied on behalf of the dead emperor, "The Emperor Franz Joseph I. And the doorman said, "I do not know any such person." And the door remained closed. So the chamberlain knocked again. And the doorman asked, "Who demands entry?" This time the chamberlain really goes for it. He says, "Franz Joseph I, by the grace of God, Emperor of Austria, apostolic King of Hungary, King of Bohemia, King of Lombardy, Venetia, of Dalmatia, Croatia, Slavonia," and so on, for many, many minutes. And at the end, the doorman said, "I do not know any such person." The third time the chamberlain knocked. And this time the doorman asked again, "Who demands entry?" And the chamberlain replied, "Your brother Franz Joseph, a poor sinner." And the doorman said, "You may come in." You see, that's the genius of God's way of humility, that he causes us to set aside our pride before we can know him. Why is that genius? Well, because do you know what? Humility is the one thing that that everyone could do should they choose to. If God's rescue had been a sophisticated theory, for instance, then only clever people would be saved, only the educated. If God's rescue had been a trend, then only the fashionable would be saved. If God's rescue had been a talent contest, then only the popular would be saved. If God's rescue had been a moral code, then only the self-righteous would be saved. And if God's rescue had been technological, then only the rich would be saved. But God's rescue wasn't any of those things. God's rescue was to come himself and born as a baby in a manger in a stable. Jesus of Nazareth. Why? So that only the humble can be saved. Saved by choosing to follow him. The baby who would grow up and he would die for you and me because of my pride and for my pride so that I could be rescued from the folly of my pride. Amen.